Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I am your host, Nick Fay, and we have a full squad tonight. Corey Waldron, Jesse Corwin, and first-time guest, Dennis Dow. What's up, fellas?
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up?
Hey, what's up?
I like the little pizzazz there, Jesse. That was nice.
Thank you. Yeah. I figured we'd pick it up today, you know? A little rainy where I'm at, so got to fight through. Yeah.
The NBA season is off to a hot start, especially in Phoenix. We've already seen a coach get fired, a player request a trade, and 2 40-point losses. Start with talking some Phoenix basketball. Obviously, Sunday evening, Earl Watson was fired after three games. The Suns obviously lost all three games by a combination of 294 to 386. What are your thoughts on this? Was this the right move to fire Watson so early or too soon?
I mean, this is amazing, guys. I mean, we could throw in all the, like, hot sun puns we want. This is a dumpster fire, right? This is, I mean, we're, what, like 5% into the season. They are a mess. So my big issue with this, and I mean, this is the word now, right, is, like, obviously, you know, it's all about stock in a player. And once teams know, there's only so many teams, right? There's only 29 other teams that are going to be looking at this guy. So, you know, once they know Eric Bledsoe wants out, then it's trouble is to get a return. So that's the latest, right, is that we heard yesterday. I think that they're looking to get a young player with significant talent in exchange, but that looks unlikely just because of the market. And it's so early in the season. Like, talk about the worst possible time to trade a player. Like, teams aren't willing to kind of mess what they got going, or, you know, you want to see where you're at first. So GM Ryan McDonough, the big problem is he told reporters after, you know, Bledsoe sent out those questionable tweets and stuff. He said, like, we're not going forward with him. So to me, that's the story here. Like, that's a big blunder by a GM. And we see really good GMs and we see bad GMs and why teams perpetuate being in the positions they are. And, like, you just can't show your cards like that.
Yeah, I would say probably for me, it just seems like if they're willing to fire him this quickly, then maybe they weren't really sold on him going forward anyways. But I had listened to Jared Dudley. He was on the Low Post a couple of weeks ago, I think, and he talked a little bit about Earl Watson, kind of saying he thought he was, he was a player's coach and he was going to do a good job. But it seems like maybe the organization wasn't sold on him. And then after getting beat, you know, like 40 points in two of the three games, I mean, if they didn't like him, that's enough reason. In terms of the Bledsoe thing, I don't know what you guys are talking about. He said he was at a hair salon with his wife. So,
hey, Dennis, so I actually realized I never even answered the question. So I went straight to Bledsoe because that's where my mind's at. Watson, I mean, it seems like so long ago in this news cycle, but here's the key variable is it wasn't just Watson, right? It was Mehmet Okur.
Three assistant coaches.
And a couple other guys as well, and they didn't have nice things to say. So, I mean, you're talking like three, four dudes on one. So, I mean, you know, I think that's pretty telling.
Yeah, definitely.
Interim head coach who eventually get hired as a head coach, I feel like never have success. I feel like it never works out. And my only issue with firing Earl Watson is there's just this revolving door of coaches right now in Phoenix. And I don't know how you're supposed to develop talent when you don't have a consistent head coach, you know, to run the team. I mean, Earl Watson obviously wasn't doing anything special because as we saw about the differential to start the season, they've been awful. And it's hard to say they're even a basketball team at this point. I mean, he had to go. I guess, you know, you need a scapegoat and Earl Watson's the guy you point your finger at.
Yeah, I mean, and he was 33-85 over his time as a coach. He was full head coach last season, like Corey said, interim coach a year before, only a few games this season. And I think you made a great point. You know, you want an established coach, somebody who's going to set the tone and set a culture up, especially when you have all these young guys looking to develop. Do you guys think that was a big reason for the firing? He also didn't have necessarily a great relationship with Ryan McDonough, Suns GM. So what do you think was the main reason he was let go as coach?
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, the main reason. But I think, again, to your point, as far as I think, you know, Corey said it well, like consistency is huge. But at a certain point, you know, you got to cut your losses and move forward. But, you know, the Suns are like the Browns, just in like front office decisions, the trades they make, the free agent signings. So he's not given a lot to work with. So it's tough for me to blast, you know, Watson. But I just find it surprising you watch a guy all summer into training camp, and then you get a few games in, and you're kind of surprised at the product. So it is surprising to me. I just, you know, you have to think it's a personal off the court thing when you fire someone that quickly into a season.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess, I would probably say to me, it seems more like it was the players really wanted to keep him on, and so they kind of did it with that idea of like, yeah, we'll keep this guy, and it kind of makes the players happy in that way. But it's like, as soon as things go bad, they're like, see, we tried it out and it didn't work. So I agree with Jesse on that. I think it's just, you know, if you look at the organization from the top down, it just seems like they don't really know what direction they want to go in. You know, I mean, they had that good team a couple of years ago that, you know, really exceeded expectations. And then they, you know, they signed Isaiah Thomas, and then they, you know, ended up trading Goran Dragic. They traded Isaiah Thomas. They did all these questionable things, and it really messed with the development of their team. So I'm not really sure. Maybe McDonough has somebody in mind that he wants going forward, or maybe he just never really wanted Earl Watson.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah. I heard somebody say something like Steve Nash, maybe. I was like, I don't know. What? Steve Nash? I didn't know he wanted to coach.
He's been working with the Warriors as, I think, player development.
Yeah, yeah.
He would strike me as one guy who could do it, maybe. Yeah.
If you want to keep the trend of playing no defense in Phoenix, then I guess that'd be the guy, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
And so they brought in interim head coach Jay Triano. He was the Raptors head coach between 2008, 2011, 87-142 record. Nothing crazy, obviously. You expect him to just coach out the rest of the season until they bring in a new guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a damn thing about him. I don't know him from a ham sandwich. But the thing is you can't, you know, it's like bringing in your backup quarterback. You can't then go back again, you know, to the starter, barring, you know, any sort of injury talk. So it's tough to fire a guy so soon, put this guy in. So you got to think, you know, they've obviously given up on the season. They're going to let this guy, you know, see what he can do. Maybe you strike lightning, but I think they'll probably do a long-term search and hopefully take a deep look at themselves in the mirror as well.
I don't know. I mean, because it's only three games, I mean, I know that a coach wouldn't get like a training camp, but I mean, I could maybe see them looking for somebody. I mean, there might be some guys willing to give it a shot, but yeah, I mean, I think Jesse's right in that it's likely that they're probably just going to play out the season with Triano.
I mean, hey, they played hard last night to start off the game. You know, that's a moral victory.
Yeah, they got a win. They're 1-0 so far.
I mean,
Watson or Butzo.
You have one of the best offensive talents on the planet in Booker. The guy's unbelievable. I mean, he's a centerpiece of a roster. So, you know, you've got something going there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing they do have. They have a lot of young talent on this roster. They're probably going to get another high pick next year. So a lot of lottery talent moving forward. I think, you know, Dennis brought up a great point. You know, they haven't really handled things great in the front office. You know, they had Isaiah Thomas, Dragic, and Eric Bledsoe, who looks to be out on the way now. And they're probably not going to get good value back for any of them. I mean, the Dragic trade wasn't bad, but Isaiah Thomas, they traded for nothing. So do you think the front office is really part of the problem in Phoenix? Do you think they just need a clean house?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what else can you say? I mean, I think their evaluation of talent is a major problem. You know, we talk about they're just a pariah of guard play, and they keep, you know, it's funny. It's hard to call them bad talent evaluators because they get their hands on them, but then somehow they just give them away. You know, and now you got the rookie Josh Jackson everyone was excited about. I was happy he didn't land in Boston. You know, now he's like pretending to shoot people in the crowd during games. He just got fined like $35,000 for like pretending to shoot a gun against the Clippers in LA. So it's, you know, you got to wonder what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I think the more changes, the better.
Well, based on just, excuse me, you know, a lot of people have mentioned that it's ownership in that way. Like, you know, if you remember, like in Nash's first year, I think, his first year, 05, they had that team with Joe Johnson and Amari, and, you know, they did really well. And then all of a sudden, you know, they have a chance to re-sign Joe Johnson that summer, and they just let him go for $5 million a year to Atlanta. And then they sold the draft pick that ended up to be Rondo. I think they had something to do with Luol Deng, and they traded him when he was drafted, something to that effect. But I've heard that it's a lot to do with the owner. Kind of, he's just kind of all over the place. He doesn't want to spend a lot of money, and I think they keep striking out in free agency as well. I mean, you know, they're getting meetings with guys. Like, they met with Aldridge. I think they met with Blake Griffin, but they're just not able to get guys to come.
Well, that's the thing, Dennis, and sorry to cut you off, Corey, but
yeah, no problem.
That's the thing is, we always assume that owners want to win, right? But yeah, I mean, it is a business, and in the NBA, you're going to make money. The question is how much. He obviously doesn't want to go into luxury tax, and you know that money to pay a coach comes out of your pocket pretty much.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, and to your point, to Jesse, I think to a point, you know, for the Suns, what are you really playing for if you're trying to build a team? I mean, the Warriors are what the Warriors are. You have all those other teams in the West. It's not like this is your window to really win anything anyways. So I do agree that if he's all about, you know, money, for instance, this is when you want to make your money, not try and get to luxury tax and spend where you're not even probably going to win a title.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's always been a strange thing about the Suns is they've always been one of these teams tied to superstar trades. You know, they've always been involved trying to get a guy. But, like, at the end of the day, if they got one of these guys, they're not even guaranteed to make the playoffs. Hypothetically, if this summer they landed Kevin Love or even Kyrie Irving, I don't think any of us are willing to lock them in as a playoff team in the West. So it's like you guys need to build up your team and then attract big-name players. You guys haven't sniffed the playoffs in years since you had the Dragic, Isaiah Thomas, and Bledsoe trio. So right. I think
– yeah. Go ahead. It's the consistency. I mean, it's a 16-year-old who wants a new Beamer convertible. It's like, man, you got to build up to that. You know what I mean? It's like you look at the Celtics model, like the Suns need to blow it up, get a ton of draft picks and, you know, not even for the next year or two, but I mean, imagine the haul you could get for Devin Booker. Like, you're not doing anything.
But that's why I think, back to Corey's point that he brought up earlier, I think that's why it's important to bring in a coach that's going to establish a culture and let these guys develop, especially with all the young guys they have. You mentioned Devin Booker, you know, Dragan Bender, Josh Jackson, Marquise Chris. There's a ton of guys on this team. Even some of the, like, second-round guys that they have some real potential. So interesting to see how that all works out this season. But let's talk Eric Bledsoe. Jesse mentioned it before. You know, Bledsoe.
Yeah, my fault.
It's all good. Dennis mentioned it, too. You know, he was at a hair salon. He tweeted, I don't want to be here. So that's what he told Phoenix. Next day, they met Monday morning. He met with them. They sent him home. Obviously, everybody knew he was going to be traded, so they killed all leverage themselves. And the reports are the Knicks, Nuggets, Bucks, and Clippers have talked to the Suns about him. What are your thoughts on Eric Bledsoe requesting a trade? Is this the right move? Is this, you know, it makes sense to move him out of this team, right?
I mean, for him, it makes sense, yeah. And I mean, for the Suns, if the guy doesn't want to be there, then of course that makes sense too. So, you know, the big one we heard was the Knicks. But I think, like, they were pretty obviously not into the deal. The Knicks were looking for, you know, the Knicks are interested in him, but, you know, they were asking for a pretty big haul from the Knicks for the players. So
I think, like, Frank Ntilikina, Willie Herman Gomez, and a first-round pick.
Right. And you know, and the Frenchman's battling some injuries as well coming in. So, I mean, that's obviously a huge haul. Like I spoke about in the open, that just – you know, when you show your card so easily, the market really changes there. And, you know, we did hear maybe Cleveland as well. Of course, Dwayne Wade hasn't been the contributor we've hoped for, and he's gone to the bench for the Cavs.
Imagine that.
I think that's probably, you know, an outlier. ESPN, Brian Windhorst, I think, was the one who kind of threw some water on that. You know, we'll see what happened. I think they'll probably end up getting like a mid-level player and a garbage pick, you know?
A good point. I mean, and actually right before we came on here, they came out with, like, I guess McDonough was trashing Bledsoe on the radio or something, but
classy.
Yeah. And kind of throwing his agent under the bus to Rich Paul. You know, like, a lot of good points that I've seen brought up is just basically, like, you know, last season, like the last 2 months of the season, Bledsoe was healthy and he was fine. And the Suns were basically like, yeah, we don't want you to play. Yeah. So, and apparently he requested a trade, and So to me, it makes sense. Like the guy wants, you know, he doesn't want to be there. When he signed his deal, I think that, you know, the expectations were much different. And I think that's the issue that a lot of people don't try to take into account. It's like when these guys sign a contract, you know, the situation may be one way, and now the situation is drastically different. So I'm not sure how it plays out. And like, you know, like Jesse said, I mean, they've killed the market for what they could have gotten. But they'll get something.
I think the biggest thing to remember is, you know, Hornacek, who's in New York now, Coach Bledsoe. And so if there's any relationship there, you got to think that he could make a play for him, even though they did call that first, you know, package they wanted pretty ridiculous. Maybe that could still happen, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, even just hearing the soundbite yesterday at McDonald's saying, you know, Bledsoe said he was at a hair salon. I don't believe that to be true. it's just like, just ruthless right to the media like that. And if he was on,
yeah,
the
like other players listen to that, you know, like other players are listening to that. They don't want to come play for you. Like,
exactly.
You don't do that.
I can't believe I tweeted about this yesterday. I can't believe how many GMs in the last year have sabotaged trade value for top players that they could probably get decent value for return in. And Bledsoe was just the latest. Like you know, we saw Paul George get traded for Sabonis and Oladipo. We saw DeMarcus Cousins get traded for Buddy Hield and Tyreke Evans and whatever else was involved. Right. It's just, I don't know. I found myself baffled and Melo for Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott. Like, I don't know.
Kanter had like 71 rebounds last night. So,
he had a good night, even though the Knicks
were atrocious. I've always thought he was pretty undervalued. But yeah, your point is well taken for sure.
They're definitely not going to get what they want in return. I saw something on like My Real GM that they're asking for a huge package for Bledsoe, and I don't know how you can go on a radio station and then bash a player that you're still trying to move.
So stupid.
It's just I don't understand the logic behind it. It's just like petty season. Like that's what the NBA is anymore. It's just trying to be the most pettiest. I would really like to see him go to the Bucks or back to the Clippers. Those are like I think my top two destinations for Bledsoe. Because the Knicks, like, why would you go after him? What's the point of that? Like, I just don't get what the – I mean, it would be so Knicks mentality to go after Eric Bledsoe.
Right, exactly. See him on the Nuggets. I think he could help the Nuggets a lot.
They could use another defensive guard.
Yeah, definitely. And they could – I mean, it seems like they want to move off of Moutier and Fareed, which I don't know if the Suns would be willing to take Fareed and Moutier, but that's – better than nothing, I guess. I don't know.
Moutier has looked better. As you know, he's looked a little bit better, so maybe they're like, you know what, he could be a young point guard that we have. He's gotten better from three. But I think you guys nailed on the head. From the McDonough standpoint, you know, first off, you don't state those things about a player because the other players around the league see that, a la Phil Jackson and the Knicks organization. And then, you know, you just don't say bad things about an agent either because you're going to want to sign a player under his, you know, under his deals too. So, like, now he's just blackballing you. He's blacklisting you. And Phoenix, you're not getting any of our guys.
To repeat the car analogy, it's like you want to buy my car; it's a piece of crap. It's like, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
So it's just like they, and like Corey said, and I saw your tweet too yesterday. It's just like, why are you showing your hand? The fact that they sent him home, you know, it kind of just removed everything because everybody was gonna find out about that. If you were kept them there and you're able to maybe work out a deal, obviously the leverage wasn't there. Everybody kind of knows Phoenix, like. They're going to be a lottery team, so it's not a surprise Bledsoe wants out. But as soon as it became a public thing, you lose all value.
Perception is reality, right, guys? So,
exactly.
Like, you know, before Bledsoe's name was out there, you can have some internal discussions across the league, and you can be somewhat forthcoming, like, hey, it's not really working out, this, that, and the other thing. Once the name is out there, these stories back and forth, you're trashing him, he's trashing you. The appearance is, whether real or not, is that this guy isn't quite the person that maybe we thought he was.
You know, I would
that
say
may
though,
not be real or not.
I would say, though, on the flip side, though, is there is a potential for them to get value in if there becomes like a bidding war kind of deal. I mean, Bledsoe's still a good player, and you know he could help the Nuggets. He could help the Bucks. He could help the Knicks. He could help anybody. So if all of these teams want him, you know, that would be their chance to get some value for him, but who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in that situation, it'd be like instead of 50 cents on a dollar, it'd be more like 75 cents. So that's what they're hoping for. I think the fact that they are asking for a ton just kind of tells you that they know they lost all leverage and they need to kind of get, you know, at least a, if someone offers them maybe a mediocre deal, they'll just take it because they're asking for so much. So someone will kind of give them something in between. And really, it's just, I don't know if they'll get a ton of great offers. You guys mentioned the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets offer is just on the table, the Moutier Fareed thing and maybe a pick involved. The Bucks, I haven't really heard, you know, the details of a deal with them. Same thing for Clippers, the Knicks deal we talked about already. If you had to pick one team, what team do you think is the most likely team to trade for Eric Bledsoe?
I'm going to go Clippers.
Yeah, relationship's already there. DeAndre Jordan tweeted he wants him back.
Yeah, Corey brought that up, and I hadn't thought about it a ton. But, you know, the other thing to think about is that, you know, all this trash talk, the back and forth, it really expedites this, right? Like, before you could just plop Bledsoe on the bench, play him, whatever. But now that it's so public and such a distraction, it has to happen quick. And I think the Clippers would be in the market for that. I think it'd be a good fit.
I'd probably say the Bucks, just because I think they have the most to offer. It's not clear if they want to get off of Jabari possibly. He's been hurt, and it seems like, you know, last year they kind of took off when he was hurt, which, you know, I think Parker's a good player, but he is someone that they could possibly move and get Bledsoe in return, which would fill a need for them at point guard. So I'd say the Bucks. I think the Bucks, that's what I'd go with.
That'd be a big time move.
It could really shoot them up in the East too.
I would say the Bucks as well. And to your point, like, I love Jabari Parker. Like, I would be really hard pressed to move him.
Sure.
But if you can get a guy like Bledsoe, you can move Brogdon to the shooting guard, play Middleton at the small forward, and then Giannis plays power forward, which so far this season has worked pretty well when you play Giannis at the forward.
I think it's worked pretty well.
I think it works well if you play Giannis anywhere. Yeah.
Just exactly. So.
Yeah. And Middleton to me is one of the most underrated guys in the
100%.
League. He is a just lights out shooter and, you know, knows his role, finds the open spot on the floor. I really like his game a lot.
Defensively, if they added a guy like Bledsoe, I would really like, defensively, they would be really tough in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they'd be right up there.
Yeah. I think the things I had read about the Bucks where they were talking about maybe Thon Maker and Greg Monroe, maybe, but. I also read some things that said, like, there's no way that Bucks would give up that much. So
I don't think they want to get rid of Thon, man.
He's you can't.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't get rid of him. I wouldn't.
I would move maybe some of the other guys they have. Yeah. But, you know, first round pick from this year, I think DJ Wilson and then Vaughn, another young guy, maybe throw on a pick. Greg Monroe, I wouldn't really care about getting rid of. But Thon has a lot of potential. Just imagine the freaking length of him and Giannis if they both hit, like, peaks at the same time. That would be wild. But if you had to put a number on it, the Suns are going to trade Eric Bledsoe by the end of the day, the end of the week, or the end of the month?
I'm going to say by – I mean, obviously, the more time you give yourself, the more you hedge your bets. But I'm going to say I feel comfortable saying, well, into the weekend. So maybe late Friday, you know, or over the weekend.
I'm going to go that it's going to be a while. I think they'll wait. I think they're going to wait way too long. They might even wait until the December 15th deadline when, you know, teams can trade guys that they signed this summer.
Good point.
But I mean, that's the thing is I could see it happening quickly though too. But if I had to say, I would say they're going to wait until the middle of December.
Yeah. I'm saying this happens no later than Halloween.
Yeah, it's too messy, Corey. It's too messy. It's too messy.
I don't see it. Like, what are you really going to sit Bledsoe on the bench for like weeks? Because if you already sent him home and you have no intention of playing him, I just can't see them sitting a guy who's making, what, $15 million or whatever on the bench.
Yeah, I think the fact that they sent him home kind of is going to speed up the process. If he was still playing the games, like, I don't even think he'll sit on the bench. I don't even know if they'll have him around the facility.
Yeah, like he's
that's
yeah,
a
like
messy
he's
situation.
They deactivated his key card. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's been banned. He's been
excommunicated. We didn't talk about it really. Bledsoe has a pretty nice contract. You know, it's not amazing, but it's definitely a movable contract in terms of instead of moving somebody like, Carmelo, who's, you know, up in the 20 plus, moving somebody under 20 who really can be a nice piece on a team and really push them to the top. Like you guys said, I'd love to see him on the Bucks. The Nuggets, I think, would be a nice piece too. I really like the Nuggets and what they can do. They could use some defense. But let's move on to another point guard, and that's Markelle Fultz. Number one pick in the draft this year. Obviously, he had some type of mystery shoulder injury. You know, it's messed up his shooting form. There's reports he couldn't even raise his arm over his shoulder, you know, up to his head. And then it came out yesterday, his agent said that he had his shoulder drained. And then his agent came out later in the day and said, no, he didn't have his shoulder drained. He actually had a cortisone shot in his shoulder. And then it was released today that Markelle Fultz will miss the next three games. So what is going on with Markelle Fultz? Are the Sixers messing up another number one pick?
All right. So, I mean, as much as I really hate to root against the young kid chasing his dream and coming into the league, I mean, this is awesome. you know, being in Boston and hearing all about the process and the 76ers are here. I mean, give me a break already. I mean, I got one word for it. It's lying. And that's what the 76ers are doing. I mean, this is just, I mean, this is a very transparent situation. So, you know, his agent misspoke earlier this month by telling the truth and then was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And I think then tried to fix it. It's clear there's a major problem here. I mean, they said, you know, no ligament, no damage like that, no labrum problems, no rotator stuff. He's doing some like biomechanics, manual therapy type of stuff, you know, very, very deliberate, slow movements and can't lift his arms above his shoulders, guys. So, you know, this isn't soccer. I mean, this is a major issue. And it's
crazy.
You know, his shot from being one of his strong points coming in to what it looks like now. I mean, he looks like he's at the YMCA, like coming off his job, like pipe fitting. Like, this is a problem for the 76ers. They're saying three games. This guy's not coming back anytime soon. They said he had a cortisone shot October 5th. And he's not good yet, but it's going to happen from that shot. They might give him another one. I mean, give me a break. It's a problem.
And cortisone doesn't fix anything. You know what I mean? It just, it like helps with the pain. It's still going to be an injury.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they understand with like, this is like, I feel like Donald Trump is running the 76ers right now. It's fine. It's fine. Nothing to see here. Like, you guys are stupid. I didn't say you put fluid. I didn't say they pulled fluid out. I said they put fluid in.
He's going to have a terrific shoulder. Terrific, terrific.
It's going to be the best shoulder.
He's going to have a huge year still. Huge.
Huge, huge.
Or huge, whatever he says.
God, never mind. Yeah. This whole thing makes no sense to me. It's like they drafted Nerlens Noel knowing he couldn't play. They drafted Ben Simmons. He got hurt. They drafted Embiid. He was hurt. Like, they had so much patience with these guys, and for whatever reason, they're like, oh, my God, we have to make sure Fultz plays no matter what. Like, it just makes no sense to me. And kind of what you said, I feel like they've put so much pressure on themselves this year. But the thing is, like, watching them play, I don't think they're going to miss Fultz that much right now. Just because, you know, he wasn't giving him a ton.
He can't lift his arms, Dennis.
I mean, he can lift his arms. The thing is, like, watching him, though, if he was hurt playing the way he's played, I mean, the guy gets to the hole at will. So that's encouraging in that regard. But it just seems to me that it's just completely the opposite of what they've done the past 3 or 4 years, is where they've been so patient with guys. But it's coming out now that, you know, it's just there's been a lot of problems with Sixers medical staff and Brian Colangelo not being as transparent, and it's just, yeah, it's a real mess.
This is just so Sixers. The training staff can't go unnoticed with how bad they've been. You know, between Ben Simmons, the Embiid foot problem that was, you know, 3 years in the making, and now we get a guy who's been playing games but can't lift his arms above his shoulder type of shoulder injury. With you, though, Jesse, I don't see him coming back in three games.
No.
There's no way this guy's playing.
He's not. They're just kicking the can down the road. And, you know, it's very unfortunate. But, you know, when you look at it from the draft point of view and how – I mean, just look at the trajectory now for the Celtics of Jason Tatum versus Markelle Fultz. It's really interesting. So I know that's just kind of a side note. But I mean, realistically, you can't root against a young guy. You hope that he comes back. But you know, there's just too many variables there, and I'm really, really not ready to hear about the 76ers process quite yet.
Yeah, it's been like you guys mentioned, the Philly's medical staff has been weird. You know, like last year with Embiid, the meniscus thing, and like for a while they're just reporting it was like a knee strain, some small injury. Next thing you know, he's out for the season. Then the Ben Simmons thing, you know, he, I think, broke his foot early in the season. They're like, oh, maybe he can come back. Then they're like, oh, no, he's not coming back. And then Fultz, you know, a young guy who you really didn't need a lot from this year. You know, they have a lot of other young players that are going to step up. They signed some veterans. It's not like they needed him to be rookie of the year this season. So it's like, why would you just not sit him for the first 3 months of the year and let his shoulder get good so he can come back? Now, not only are you messing with his confidence, you're messing with his shot. You know, he adjusted his shot. Like, you do not want to see anybody change their shooting form for an injury, and then when they go back, it's just not going to be the same. So I think they could have created a problem themselves.
Yeah. Well, and I think I read something that said they were trying to say that maybe his shoulder got worse because he messed with his shooting form, kind of like pushing some of the blame on him. So
that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I don't know.
Yeah, let's just blame a 20-year-old kid.
That's the thing. I could see the Woj bomb now, like a week from now, like Markelle Fultz out for the season or something.
It's coming. I can almost guarantee it. Yeah,
I mean, it does seem likely. And Ben Simmons has been great, you know, running the show. And Jared Bayless has done an okay job. J.J. Redick's there. So I don't think they need him.
McConnell's good off the bench. I mean, they're deep at guard. I mean, they've got some guys that can play.
And, I mean, like, their season anyways, it's not like they're going to win a championship. They might sneak into the playoffs. Embiid's not playing every game. And until Embiid plays every game, then you're really not seriously, you know, going for it all. So I think
that's the story. I mean, yeah. Embiid, you know, that's the variable. And he's great, and he's going to continue to be great until Thanksgiving. So and then we'll see him next year.
Yikes.
The Philly hate is real right now.
Oh man, it's palpable.
But before we get out of here, I want to get your guys. Obviously, we're only a few games to the season, about a week in. Hot take so far for this year. Shoot them.
Oh man, so you know, it's tough this early. Then I started thinking about it. I do have a few, so I don't want to leave any out. So I'll just be real quick. I'll run through them. Celtics second year player Jaylen Brown will make the All-Star game this year. He scored 20 something again last night, third time in four games this season. Last year, it took him until late February to do that. You know, a few guys in Batum, you got Bradley, DeRozan, Beal, you know, Caldwell Pope's in the West, Butler's in the West. So that Marcus Smart, he'll be traded at the trade deadline this year, to the Rockets, for picks. I want to put Giannis Antetokounmpo in the MVP discussion. The guy's been amazing. We talked about the Bucks a little bit, but you know, I just want to make sure he's getting love. The other thing, Klay Thompson potentially gets traded this year. I think the Warriors are getting complacent and they need to shake things up. So that's what I got.
Jesse's got a full array of hot takes for you.
I just each one felt so hot. I felt bad.
It did. It did feel hot.
You came in pretty hot there. I don't know how I can follow that one. Just in watching them and everything that's happened and all the players that they have, I do not like Cleveland. I don't know what it is. I think they're going to have real issues when everybody comes back. I think Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose are going to have problems coming off the bench, which, when Isaiah Thomas comes back, you know, I think he's going to be the starter. I just don't like what I see in Cleveland. I think they're going to struggle when the playoffs come. I think they're going to struggle in the regular season. I don't know if they're going to have as easy of a time getting to the finals in years past. I just think there's too many issues with their team so far to the fact of, again, like, Dwayne Wade is going to, you know, he's playing for a contract. Derrick Rose is playing for a contract. Isaiah Thomas is playing for a contract. LeBron might not be there next year. I just think there's too many things, even for LeBron, to overcome. I just don't like the look of Cleveland right now.
Nail on
the head. My hot take would be that the Celtics, even without Hayward, Celtics, Wizards, Bucks possibly. I think there's a legitimate chance for them to get to the finals.
When's the last time, Dennis, you saw a guy say, "Nah, I don't want to start. I'll come off the bench." Like,
well, that's, I mean, the whole Melo thing. Like, I mean, you know, guys like Melo and Wade. You know, if you watch the Thunder play, it's the same thing. Like, they just, their rotations right now have just been way off. Like, I don't know what Billy Donovan's doing. Maybe he's tinkering still, but it just seems like, I mean, and of course, like, guys want to start, and in some ways they deserve to start, but, you know, like the Cavs, if you start Derrick Rose, you start Dwayne Wade, you're not going to be as good offensively. It's just reality. You're not. And I just don't know how that works, though, when, you know, Isaiah Thomas comes back and Derrick Rose goes to the bench, and now Dwayne Wade's going to the bench, and it's like they're going to be there in the fourth quarter not playing, kind of like, I'm Dwayne Wade. I'm Derrick right. Rose. Like, I won MVP, you know? So that's kind of where it comes from. Now, again, like, things have, you know, Cleveland was written off last year as well. But I don't know. It just seems to me that there's too much going on. Like, Kevin Love apparently wasn't too happy with being, you know, the five. So it's just, there's a lot of things in Cleveland that don't sit well to me. So it's early, though. It's early. It's early. Yeah, so.
LeBron fixes a lot of stupid stuff, though, so we will see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
So if it wasn't for LeBron, they would have lost to the Bulls last night.
True, yeah, well, true, true. He couldn't save him from the Magic, though.
No, he couldn't. He only do so much. All right, so I'm ready to start firing off hot takes.
I'm ready. I've been waiting for this all pod.
All right, so the Bucks are going to be a two seed in the East. And then this season ends. The Bucks are going to be a two seed. I think Bledsoe could end. This is a stupid bias take. I think Bledsoe could end up in Indiana as a sleeper.
Where did this come from, Corey?
I had to keep this one for the hot take.
I see. All right. Okay.
He's keeping the back burner.
I think DeMarcus Cousins ends up in Cleveland by some point before the trade deadline this season.
Whoa. That would be interesting.
I think Lonzo Ball finishes outside the top three for rookie of the year.
All right, Corey. You did not like it. Disappoint.
I think LeVar Ball just felt a pain in his stomach.
I just know you better watch your back, Corey. Big Baller's coming for you.
Yeah, he's coming to Albany, New York for me.
But that wraps it up for today, guys. Excellent show, guys. Thank you for taking time to record. And as always, thank you everybody for listening. And you can listen to the pod on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, OTGBasketball.com. Let us know how we did. Comment, like, subscribe. Have a great night.